It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. Today, my friends, is the 21st of February. God bless each one of you. We want you to know you can go to biblicalbooster.org. We're still working on some of the pages, but you can purchase the book, biblicalbooster.org. There's even some alternative payment methods, and there's some blue text that will tell you about that, but you can always reach out to us. Thank you all. Some of you all have already done so, and the code that you receive, you can share that code with others. It's good for a limited time, but you can share that with others. It's time for our opening prayer. May the Lord bless you. I'm going to ask my wife, Undreamed Of, to take us to the throne of grace. And I believe she's muted. I don't believe she realizes that she's muted.
There you go, sweetie. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together and to have worship. We thank you for your loving watch care throughout the night. And now we pray for your spirit to be with us as your word is spoken. Give us the message we need to hear by anointing the words of our pastor and filling him with your spirit. This we pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song is It's About Time. Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time for Christian. It's about time. It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, oh Christian. It's about
topic, the gospel to the world. This is a reading from Homeward Bound and a discussion. It also comes from Desire of Ages, portions from Desire of Ages, pages 632 to 634, of course, from the scriptures as well. And from Homeward Bound, it's on page 68. Matthew 24:20, as we pray. Father, bless us as we study your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Correction, Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end. Praise God, friends. I think we should all memorize that. It's actually a scripture song as well, but I'm not going to sing it right now. Christ has given signs of his coming. You can read those, by the way, in Matthew 24 and I believe Luke 17. He declares that we may know when he is near. And this is about to answer a question that many people have. Many people don't believe the Bible because they don't understand the Bible. As the apostle, I believe it was Peter, say that they rest the scriptures to their own destruction. So this may solve a mystery, what we're about to read. He says of those who see these signs, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So a lot of people read that verse when Jesus said it, this generation shall not be fulfilled. And you say, see the Bible, I've heard Muslims that were Afrocentric Muslim followers of Louis Farrakhan. They would say the Bible's a white man's book. Jesus said he was coming in that generation and he didn't come in that generation. That's not what he said. He is giving the signs of his coming. And he says that those who witness all of those signs, that generation. So the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is we're in that generation. We've seen pestilences, which is like pandemics, like never before. We have seen weather patterns, as the Bible mentions a few things that are earth-destructive, related to earth's destruction, like earthquakes in diverse places. You know, we see wars and rumors of wars in quick succession. I'm going to tell you, friends, you need to pray for Russia and Ukraine because I'm not a veteran. I've never been a military strategist except in the Lord's army. But I can tell you one thing. I have learned from those who were expert tacticians, and that is if you stay in a defensive mode, it is never going to work. You're never going to win. You have to go on the offense. And so what is happening is in our world, everybody's afraid of Putin because if they go on the offense, then they believe he'll push a button and start a nuclear war. So he's just free to just bombard Ukraine. And so it is never going to go anywhere. It's never going to, when I say it's never going to go anywhere, it's not going to be resolved. And so that war is just going to continue, and it's just going to kill people. And that's what the devil wants. If you can be destroyed in a state of where you are not following Christ, that's what he wants. He loves wars because it causes senseless death. And as long as those people didn't know Jesus, some of those people didn't know Jesus, then the devil can triumph. You see, the devil has to burn for every sinner who is saved. He doesn't have to burn for those who are lost. They burn for themselves. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that's why the high priest was, when he came out of the most holy place and out of the holy place, he put his hand on the goat. That was a transference of the sin of the saved to Satan, symbolized, and he was led out into the wilderness by a fit man. Satan will have his time in the wilderness, 1,000 years, where he is bound with a chain. A lot of people think it's a real chain. No, it's a chain of circumstances. You see, the devil likes to deceive. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 24, over and over and over again, Jesus is talking about his coming. Be not deceived, be not deceived, be not deceived. If you say he's here, say the secret rapture, brothers and sisters, that's what Jesus was talking about. Even if you didn't see him, the secret rapture, he's going to be over there. He's going to be taking people away. They're going to just be zapped out of existence and into heaven. That's not what he said. He said his coming is going to be glorious. As the lightning shineth from the east, even shineth coming from the east and shineth to the west, it says, even so also shall the Son of Man, the coming of the Son of Man be. And so that is a great deception. And anything the devil can do to deceive, that's what he does. So when would he be bound in a chain of circumstances? Well, there's only four classes of people. They are, number one, righteous living. Number two, righteous dead. Number three, wicked living. And number four, wicked dead. Well, he can't mess with the dead, so that takes 50% of the group out. So the righteous living and the righteous living and the wicked living. Well, what happens to the righteous living when Jesus comes again? The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So I actually answered both questions. What happens to the righteous living and the righteous dead? They meet together in the air on resurrection morning, brothers and sisters. And so that removes forever. Well, oh, that doesn't. I'm sorry. I do need to answer another question. What happens to the wicked living? The Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians that they are destroyed by the brightness of his coming. And you can read in Revelation, I believe it's chapter 6, that the wicked call for the rocks. And they say, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. From that, we can determine that the wicked living are destroyed by the brightness of his coming. So if the righteous living are out of Satan's control or out of his venue, if the righteous dead have been resurrected, when they were dead, they were out of his venue anyway, and when they're resurrected, they have a glorified body that is made glorified in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. We all get changed at the same time. There's no secret rapture where some go to heaven before the rest of us. It's just not in the Bible. That was created by a Roman Catholic Jesuit priest. I have a book on that. I'll be publishing that book soon. Gives the whole history, shows you the letters in Latin where he wrote those lies and passed them on to Protestants who sucked it up. And all it does is take the focus away from the Pope, because he is primarily Antichrist. Okay, he's not the only. Antichrist means against Christ. If you're against Christ, I'm sorry, it means in place of Christ. If you're in place of Christ, you try to put yourself in Christ's place, that's Antichrist, my friends. The Roman Pontiff, the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, he is Antichrist because he places himself as the vicar of Christ, meaning God on earth, where people sit down and worship and kiss his feet and all this kind of stuff. I bet you if they were kissing his feet, that was a lot of transferring of viruses, brothers and sisters, because they just kiss the feet and somebody else comes by and kiss the feet and somebody else comes by and kiss the feet and picks up the germs from the previous person. So I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, and if he was God, they wouldn't be passing on any germs. But nonetheless, he is not God. He's not God on earth. He is the man of sin. The Bible says he is a representation of blasphemy, and blasphemy is defined in Luke 7, Luke 2 verse, I think it's Luke chapter, I think it's Luke 7, that wherein it says that when Jesus was accused of forgiving sin, they accused him of blasphemy. And he wasn't guilty because he can forgive sin. But a mere man who is sinful himself cannot forgive your sins in a confessional box, okay? That's Roman Catholicism. That's a lie. Jesus was also, in John 10, accused of blasphemy because he claimed to be God on earth. But he is God on earth, so he's not guilty. But the Pope is not God on earth, but he claims to be. That's blasphemy, friend. And so I am here to tell you that that puts the Pope in place. The Catholic priest in place of Christ. That's Antichrist system. And so they wanted to take the heat away. Most Protestants in the early days of the Protestant Reformation, they knew that the Pope was Antichrist. And yet they wanted to take that stigma away. So one of the Jesuits came up with this theory that included a secret rapture, a future coming of a Antichrist in the distant future. And Protestants sucked it up hook, line, and sinker, as the devil would have it. They believe now in a secret rapture. That was not always taught in Protestantism, brothers and sisters. And I'm here to tell you it's a big lie. It's a big lie. But nonetheless, the devil will be deceived. The devil can't deceive because he can't get to the righteous living. The righteous dead have been resurrected. the wicked living have been destroyed by the brightness of his coming, and the wicked dead stay dead. You can read that in Revelation chapter 20, where it says, the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So there's 1,000 years where we will sentence the devil and all the wicked, while the devil has to just sit like as if on a life in prison sentence, but it's 1,000-year sentence just to think about all the stuff he did. All the stuff he did. Somebody asked about the book. I'll make an announcement again real quickly, my sister. You want to understand, my friends, that the devil is all about deception, and he will not be able to deceive anybody during that time. Okay? Keep that in mind. All right. It says, the exact time of the second coming of the Son of Man is God's mystery. Okay? So what we did, I want to make sure you understand. Let's go back. When Jesus, I'm going to root this in your mind, because people will try to pull your confidence in the Bible away, steal your confidence in the Bible from you. When Jesus said, this generation shall not pass, he wasn't talking about his generation. He was talking about the generation of the people who would see the final culmination of all of those signs in Matthew 24. I believe that that's us, friends. I believe that that's us. Okay, again, the exact time of the second coming of the Son of Man is God's mystery. In the prophecy of Jerusalem's destruction, let me say this about that. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, no man knoweth the day nor the hour of his coming but the Father. The proper interpretation, this was rendered by James White. It's also, if you look at the actual Greek, you can find this out. It actually is a better rendering. It is better to be rendered, no man makes known the day nor the hour but the Father. I do believe Jesus knows. He's all-knowing. I do believe he knows when he's coming. But no one makes it known. And when we understand certain Bible prophecies and as they are the commentary of those in the book Great Controversy, it talks about how we hear the voice of God telling us the day and the hour during the final crisis after the final close of human probation. There's a Bible prophecy that helps to understand that, but I'm just giving it to you in more modern phraseology written in the book Great Controversy. In the prophecy of Jerusalem's destruction, Christ said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So, you know, that verse of the Bible, my friends, in Matthew 24, tells you that once saved, always saved is a lie. It says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This prophecy will again be fulfilled. The abounding iniquity of that day finds its counterpart in this generation. So with the prediction in regard to the preaching of the gospel, before the fall of Jerusalem, Paul, writing to the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, declared that the gospel was preached to every creature which is under heaven. So, friends, let me tell you something. We can't go home until everybody hears the gospel. So that's why it's important not just to share your faith with Seventh-day Adventists. We have to get the gospel to everybody. And guess what? The gospel includes God's law. It is the deliverance from sin that Jesus gave through his life, death, resurrection. And you are delivered by justification, where you're forgiven and given a new heart. But you are also delivered by sanctification, which is lifelong obedience. Obedience to what? The Ten Commandments. So all I got to do is keep the Ten? Yes, because they are far-reaching. That's what Jesus meant when he said things like, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery in his heart. And so, my brothers and sisters, God is trying to tell us, you can say you don't want to kill, but if you hate somebody, you've already killed them. So the Ten Commandments are very spiritual. They encompass everything. You can say, I don't have any gods, I don't worship idols, but you know, somebody scratches your Cadillac or accidentally drops something on your sidewalk or damages your siding, you lose your religion. You know, so sometimes the things that we treasure on this earth can be God's to us. The Ten Commandments are far-reaching. They encompass every aspect of our lives. In the prophecy of Jerusalem's destruction, Christ said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This prophecy will again be fulfilled. The abounding iniquity, we already read this, of that day finds its counterpart in this generation. So with the prediction in regard to the preaching of the gospel before the fall of Jerusalem, Paul, writing by the Holy Spirit, declared that the gospel was preached to every creature under heaven. So my friends, again, I want to emphasize we've got to preach the gospel to the world, and God promised that it will go to the world. Now, that will be fulfilled during the Sunday Law movement, because you can't really know the final test until it comes. And then the gospel, which is the fact that God has a beautiful, holy law, and he is holy like his law, it will be manifested, and that lawbreakers can be forgiven, and that we can be empowered with this victory in our lives. That's part of the gospel, and that will come to light during the Sunday crisis. But we can't wait till the Sunday crisis. We've got to start talking and sharing and writing and quoting and doing to help our fellow man with publishing and medical missionary work, which will be the finishing aspects of the work. God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world, Acts 17:31. Christ tells us when that day shall be ushered in. He does not say that all the world will be converted, but that the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. By giving the gospel to the world, it is in our power to hasten our Lord's return. We are not only to look for, but to hasten the coming of the day of God. 2 Peter 3:12. Had the church of Christ done her appointed work as the Lord ordained, the whole world would have before been warned, and the Lord Jesus would have come to our earth in power and great glory. Friends, we're on borrowed time. Jesus could have come a long time ago, but his people have been hesitant to preach the gospel. Those who watch for the Lord's coming are not waiting in idle expectancy. And let me pause when I say his people. You know, we spend too much time majoring in minors and minoring in majors. Let me tell you one of the biggest things that keeps people from preaching the gospel. Trying to figure out whether or not a person is godly, whether they're in the conference or out. That is what is the biggest thing. That's why I don't get involved in a whole bunch. I know what the truth is, and the truth says that God's church is his people. That is the truth, and you see that throughout history. You see that in inspiration. But you do have some, whether you're in or out, they focus on whether you're in or whether you're out, rather than let's teach. Let's go. Because here's the thing. If you do what you're supposed to do, you'll be where you're supposed to be. Did you hear what the Spirit of God said to his servant? If you do what you're supposed to do, you'll end up being where you're supposed to be. And so if you teach all the truth, if you teach everything that God has said in the Bible and Spirit of Prophecy, there'll be some camps where you won't be allowed to say those things, okay? But at the same time, it doesn't matter what camp you're in. Are you converted, my friend? Has God control of your thoughts, your actions, your motives? That's what's most important. It's not what's most important whether you're in or out of the conference at this point in time. You just do what you're supposed to do and teach all the truth and stop criticizing people who are in a different camp. That's what the devil wants, so that we can stop. We spend all our time on those themes, and then we don't preach the gospel. Those who watch for the Lord's coming are not waiting in idle expectancy. With vigilant watching, they combine earnest working. Because they know that the Lord is at the door, their zeal is quickened to cooperate with the divine intelligence in working for the salvation of souls. Praise God, my friends. This is God's message for us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. We ask for your Holy Spirit to be with us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us and give us peace in Jesus' name. Amen. To my sister, the book that we are publishing right now is The Biblical Booster. Contact me and I'll give you a coupon code, biblicalbooster.org. Go to that, friend, biblicalbooster.org, okay? And the other book is entitled How Christ Fulfilled the Law, and I have to, it's on a different computer. We have to get that computer's hard drive and pull it. but we do have the ability now to publish it, whereas prior to that, we didn't have the ability to publish it on a large scale. So it's coming. But the book that you need to read today, The Biblical Booster, biblicalbooster.org. God bless you, friends. Remember, you can go to torso.org and go to our website there. That's our flagship website, and you can learn more about the ministry, learn about how to take care of your health, learn about wellness coaching, learn about our wellness retreats, learn about different products that can help you stay well. God bless you. And at this time, we will have our transition song, which is the Torso song. And we'll play that at this time. It's about an 8-minute intermission. We'll be back with a health message. We're going to be telling you some powerful information about why sometimes you feel sick when you're on a fast and why sometimes you can feel some strange manifestations when you're trying to lose weight. Stay tuned. Don't go too far. We'll be back in a few minutes.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. You might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs, and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon. Enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't on our door, we will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine and pop? You can break every chain, your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might sleep feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how. You can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're going to talk about why you can sometimes feel bad when you go on a fast, and sometimes you can feel bad when you just have a weight loss regimen that you're on. And here's the point. We have years and years, lifetime of toxins that the body wants to get rid of them, but sometimes we don't do the best job, especially when we eat the flesh of dead animals, dairy products, don't exercise, don't drink enough water. Those toxins build up in our cells, and they're generally stored in fat cells. So when you start losing weight, these toxins get released. Sometimes people have been on medications, even psychiatric medications, back in the past, maybe got depressed or different things happened, and you're on those drugs. And even if you've gotten off of those drugs, some of those toxins are stored in fat cells. And so a person can actually, when they start losing some weight, even have hallucinations and different things can happen. Or you can have like a resurrection of symptoms that you had years ago when you had a condition, because, you know, the body is, if that condition might have been caused by or associated with drug medication, as those toxins get released now, you can actually have a recurrence. So sometimes you have to slow down Sometimes you can bear through it. Sometimes you have to slow down the rate of cleansing and just not cleanse so fast. But the point being made, this does not happen with everybody. And most people, if they just endure through some of the bad symptoms, they'll go away. But I just wanted you to know why. Our bodies store years and years worth of toxins in our fat cells. And when you start, you know, those fat cells start getting burnt down as you fast, it releases some of those toxins. Now, it's good that they're released so they can get out of the body, but as they're passing through, they can cause some symptoms, okay? That is our topic for today. Just so you know, it's best, as a general rule, we just pray through them and use maybe some herbs to help with the symptoms, but it's a blessing. All right, that being said, it's time now to go to roll call. We do know that we have South Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Michigan on Facebook. And on the actual phone call, which would be free conference calls, not just the phone call, and I say it that way because I'm going to start with Bermuda. We've got Sister Kavan on from Bermuda, so she may be on with a phone or a tablet. We also have Ohio. We have Georgia. We have Oklahoma. We have Ohio again. We have Delaware on the line, and we're your servants here in Pennsylvania. Phone lines are open, and we're open to receive any comment on Facebook, so please feel free. Just press star 6. Again, I invite you to go to the website, biblicalbooster.org, and you will go to the site of the new book that is out. It has 320 pages currently. It has over 300 citations. It has over 180 color pictures and photographs. It has over 150 QR codes, making it most likely the most interactive resource, educational resource, regarding the health crisis that we're in, that is probably in the world, okay? Meaning it is the most interactive resource in the world regarding this topic. I don't know of any others that have over 150 QR codes, but we let you go to directly to see the content that we're sharing with you. All right, friends, and by the way, it's full of poetry. It's full of poetry, so you'll find it an easy read, an enjoyable read, and we pray that you'll be blessed. All right, is there anyone that wants to share anything with you, with us? Please feel free to press star 6 at this time. We have about 20 minutes to the top of the hour. So glad to have our dear sister gathered on the line with us. I think I would say she's distance-wise the furthest in distance. I don't see our dear brother from Greece on this morning. All right, my friends, well, God is good. We're going to go ahead and close out. We'll ask my wife, Andrea.
Let's pray, Father in heaven. We thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word, Lord, and we just ask that we will continue to seek you in all things that we do. We thank you for allowing us to be to come together for worship, and we pray for every heart, asking that you will bless us in a special way. We ask for spiritual, mental, and physical healings to be granted. We pray for those that are away from their homes, that you will continue to bless them in their visitations, and we pray for those that have lost loved ones, that you will continue to give them strength and encouragement and comfort during this time. We ask, Lord, that you will help us all to be every need to be met and taken care of, and we pray for those that have gone through the earthquake and the tornadoes that are happening, have happened, the snowstorms, multiple accidents have occurred, even the war that's still going on. We just pray for all these individuals, Lord, asking that you will be there, that you will help them, that you will even provide for them, Lord, in many ways that are much needed. We thank you for hearing our prayers, for we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Amen. Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
Closing song, I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die.
Do you know?